The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program. WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
All right. Well, good evening. Well, Vina is not here tonight. My name is Scott Ellsworth, and I'm your sit-in, sort of like the talk shows are at late night. I get a guest host. And tonight, this evening, we have a very special guest, Chris Finney, with the Finney Law Firm. And we're going to be talking about the Corporate Transparency Act. And for those who are in business and real estate, really an important topic. Chris Finney is with, he owns the Finney Law Firm. Actually, Chris is a good friend of mine. I've known him for years. He specializes in commercial real estate, as well as public interest law. So his firm, started back in 2013, been growing for about 10 years. How you doing, Chris?
Great. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate the introduction and, really think the show itself is just such a great service for people who want to, you know, be entrepreneurial in real estate. It's awesome that you're doing that.
Yeah, it is a great show. Vina has done an awesome job with it, and we appreciate it when we have guests like you who are experts in these areas who can shed some light for those who are investing in real estate of what the new things that are here. I mean, the CTA, called the CTA, Corporate Transparency Act. Maybe we'll get started. I do want to put, if anybody has any calls, wants to call in, it's 877-772-9658. That's 877-772-9658 if you have any questions. For now, I'm going to, Chris, I think it'd be good if we started sort of with some basics. So maybe we'll start off with the government agency that's responsible for this Corporate Transparency Act is FinCEN. What is FinCEN's job? A lot of people hadn't heard of that till now.
Yeah, well, until this regulation came out, I literally had never heard of it, but I don't practice in criminal law or federal criminal law, but it's called the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, and I guess they are the people that try to track money laundering and unwind that in Washington.
Okay. So interesting. And the law really is not, a lot of people think, oh, this is all part of the tax code and things like that. This is not. This is really a different organization, a different department.
Yeah, it's not the IRS. It's not the Securities and Exchange Commission. It is, I don't know who it's under, but it's a whole new federal agency. Oh, I guess it's under the Treasury Department. But Wikipedia, a reliable source, says the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network is a bureau of the Department of Treasury that collects and analyzes information about financial transactions in order to combat domestic and international money laundering, terrorist financing, and other financial crimes. So I think the point being, and my understanding is this legislation that spawned this new regulation was sponsored by Marco Rubio out of Florida.
Okay.
But I think the issue for FinCEN is that their investigatory powers only went so far, and they couldn't track whether there was some foreign Arab sheikh or somebody from Indonesia or Thailand or Venezuela who had money stowed in various places in the United States. You know, you set up an LLC, and the LLC owns everything, and it's sort of a black box. And even the feds, with all of their, you know, electronic monitoring and sleuths, couldn't figure out who had money behind some of these things. So now everybody has to report, pretty much everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you find that, you know, it's very common people like to keep anonymity. They don't want to have their name out with the entities they have, so that there's some target for lawsuits. And now it looks like it's going to be this way. So what is the let's talk about what the Corporate Transparency Act is. We sort of said the intention, obviously, was to uncover the bad people, and it seems that laws are always created because there's bad actors, right? It's not the good guys.
Right. Well, we end up all paying the price, right, for the few bad guys with all the paperwork and all the disclosures and whatever. We, you know, the few bad apples spawn all of this regulation. But I want to correct something you said, which is it destroys anonymity. So I do civil litigation. You know, we sue people and or we defend lawsuits. And many times in a lawsuit, you want to know who it is that owns or claims to own a particular corporation or limited liability company. This new regulation, in a direct way, does not give you a looking glass into who owns an LLC or a corporation. It's not public information. Right. So FinCEN knows it. Maybe they can share it with the IRS or the FBI or whomever. But it's not subject to FOIA, Freedom of Information Act request, to the
That's
federal
good.
Government. However, when we do civil litigation, so we sue another party or we're being sued by another party, I can guarantee you the first thing we're going to ask for in discovery is their FinCEN filings. So it's going to be discoverable like tax returns. So tax returns are a good example. You file your tax return with the IRS, but that is not public information. But when you're in litigation with someone, you can ask the court in discovery to make them give you their tax returns. So it's still discoverable. Your medical records are discoverable. Your tax returns are discoverable. Your financial records are discoverable in litigation. And the FinCEN filings, as far as I'm concerned, would be the same. But you can't get them from FinCEN. You can't force them to disclose. Same with the IRS. If you subpoena the IRS for somebody's tax returns, they don't have any obligation. They won't give them to you.
Right. You have to give them permission, somebody permission to get those records from the IRS. So the question is, so who does it apply to? I mean, there are some exceptions, but from a real estate investor.
My sister is just a graphic designer. She's a solo practitioner. And she said, oh my gosh, until I got your newsletter, Chris, I had no idea. And I've had other clients. Does this apply to me? And the reality is, it's everybody except for, and there's 23 different exceptions, okay? But most of them don't apply. So public utilities, tax-exempt entities, banks, credit unions, government entities don't have to file. So there are 23 exceptions. The only exception that's going to apply to a typical business person is if you're a very large company. So for whatever reason, and I guess it's because, you know, they can get the information other ways.
Public
but
entity.
For large companies, meaning over 20 employees, have a U.S. presence, and $5 million of annual revenue, do not have to apply, do not have to file. But even the teeniest, tiniest company, a company you started, well, actually, inactive companies are an exception as well. But otherwise, you have a duty to report this to this federal agency. And it's not a hard form. They want to know who the beneficial owners are. So for most people who have a sole member LLC or a two-member LLC, it's a quick filing online and you're done.
Okay.
You have to update it when you form an LLC, when you change an LLC. If you have a change of ownership, it has to be quickly updated. But it's really everybody. So, you know, a lot of regulations exempt corporations or companies below a certain size. This one does not. It exempts companies above a certain size, and all the little guys and medium-sized guys have to file.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the CTA with Chris. All right. We are back with Chris Finney, attorney who specializes in corporate real estate law. And we're talking about the Corporate Transparency Act. Chris, you alluded to it a little bit earlier, but what are the requirements for, you know, us. A lot of, folks listening are small real estate investors. You talked about your sister having a business that's small. So what really are the requirements, for the individuals and whether it applies to LLCs or sole proprietors, just, entities, and what are the requirements for existing ones that exist? And
sure.
If I open
Let
a new
one. Let
me
just go over the general rules of what the FinCEN regulations require. So on January 1 of this year, the law went into effect. For existing LLCs as of that date, the requirement is by January 1 of next year, by 25, if you have a year, you have to file. Okay, and I'm going to talk in a minute about what a filing is. You have to file with FinCEN and telling them certain things about your company. For new LLCs formed after January 1 of this year, you have 90 days to file. For new entities formed after January 1 of 25, a year from now, we're only going to have 30 days to report.
Wow, that's
so
quick.
So three different requirements. For entities that existed as of January 1 of this year, you have a whole year to file. For entities that are formed in calendar year 24, you have 90 days to file. And for any new entities starting January 1 of 25, you have 30 days to file. And then the other thing is, if you have a change in ownership during this corporate year, in the corporate ownership this year, you have 30 days to file.
Wow.
So that's first of all, and so we talked about who, which is everyone, unless you have 20 employees and $5 million of volume, then you're exempt. But basically, unless you're a bank, a credit union, or a nonprofit, okay, it's everyone, everyone. And it applies to limited liability companies, corporations, limited partnerships, and even certain trust relationships, so a trust. So,
by the way,
there's no penalty for filing if you don't have to file, and the filing is fairly simple. So, you know, we're telling people, don't argue about it. Don't sit around and spend a lot of time thinking about, am I exempt? Just file.
Gotcha.
Now, unless you have some great reason why you don't want the FinCEN to know who your ownership structure is, just file. There's also a really good, so we have a good blog entry on our website, finneylawfirm.com. Finney, F-I-N-N-E-Y, lawfirm.com. If you go to our blog, the third entry down is a long article about the FinCEN. And in that article, there's a compliance guide, a link to a compliance guide that's on the FinCEN website, and it answers every question that anybody would have. So let's say it again. Every one of your listeners, if you have an LLC, a corporation, a limited liability company, or you have a trust, you probably have to file. The exceptions are large companies, 20 employees or more, and $5 million in gross sales. That's the exception. That's not the threshold above which you have to file. That's the threshold above which you don't have to file. And all the small LLCs that hold real estate, operating companies, maybe just has bank accounts or something for anonymity, everybody has to file. Everybody's going to file. And what do they want to know? Okay, the information that they require you to disclose is the beneficial owners of the company, which really means the owners for most of us. But they also want to know officers and directors, individuals with a controlling authority, people with the authority to appoint and remove officers, or the board of directors. And so people create these corporations intending to hide the ownership, but they really control it behind the scenes. Those people have to report as well. And now, why is this? Again, it's for money laundering. So what FinCEN is doing is kind of setting a trap for people who are trying to hide things, because it's a $500 per day penalty for non-filing. So that layers onto the fraud filings that they have when they realize that you've been hiding, you know, doing money laundering or drug or terrorism. It's another layering on. Are they going to go after the guy who has an interior design company or a graphics design company or something like that? Probably not. Probably not what they're looking for, but you never know. So the point is, they want more transparency behind the scenes as who's got the money in these companies and who's pulling the strings.
Okay. That is, wow.
So who has to file, when you have to file, what you have to disclose, and you can do it yourself online. I've talked to people who've done it themselves. You don't necessarily have to hire a law firm or us. A lot of people have said to me, oh my gosh, I didn't know about this. Certainly my accountant knows about this. Well, they're probably right. Your accountant probably does know about it because accountants handle a lot of these corporate formalities for people. But I don't know that anybody can count on that because I've talked to a lot of people whose attorneys know nothing about this. So, you know, you need to be on top of it. It's a one-time registration, so it's not like something you have to – I get something from Kentucky all the time. You need to re-up your LLC every year. Like, what? Yep. This is so annoying. Like, I haven't had any changes. I got to do an annual filing for Kentucky. This isn't like that where you have to file every 6 months or every 2 years. It's a one-time filing, and then you, every time you have a change, you have to keep that updated.
Well, and I will tell you that I've seen other CPAs. I'm a CPA. I've seen other CPAs who have actually put a notice out to all their clients that we don't do anything for the Corporate Transparency Act. We're not in that.
Well, this is something else we've seen, Scott. Some law firms are saying we refuse to even form your LLC anymore, or
wow,
we disclaim any responsibility for your FinCEN filings because there's liability. There's liability built into the act for the law firms and the accounting firms who are forming these companies or are parties responsible for the reporting. And they're all trying to shed this because it's, you know, $500 per day times however many entities. Like, why would we want to be involved in a simple function like forming an LLC, which very little fees come out of it, but huge liabilities?
Wow. And even,
yeah,
I do have people, and I have a couple dormant LLCs. In other words, no activity, really not doing anything, haven't done anything for 5 years, but keep it open, file zero tax returns. What do you say to me with those entities?
I'd have to look at the reporting guidelines, but it appears that there's a broad exception for that, that they do not have to file. Exception number 23 out of 23 is inactive entities. If it truly is dormant, you know, you don't have earned interest, you don't have any, you know, not collecting rents or anything. If it's a dormant, inactive entity, you probably don't have to file, but I'd have to dig in a little bit on the compliance guide to confirm that.
But it's almost like you were saying, it's that if the document is not that difficult to do, just go ahead and do it, again, unless you have
Or it might spur you to finally dissolve some of those inactive LLCs that you're not really, what do I have this hanging around for? You know?
Right, right.
So this is a whole new, you know, it's a small regulation in the end. It's not a huge thing. But there are people, like I say, who are just saying, I want to get out of the business of forming LLCs, or, you know, it's another hurdle that a small business owner, you know, we have plenty of stuff to think about.
Yeah,
it's one more thing that you got to deal with.
You almost when you're just setting up an entity, I mean, now you've got one more thing that you've got to make sure you do. And I have generally found that most folks, especially if they don't use an attorney, they just don't do a lot of the right things with their entities as they create them. It's real easy to pay Ohio $100 to set up your LLC, right?
Yep.
But then you've got to maintain it. That's a whole nother.
Now you have all these new things that you need to think about. And again, $500 a day, fine. Let me say a couple more things.
Okay.
There's a woman in our office, Casey Jones, who really took the lead in writing that blog entry I told you about, and is consulting with clients as they need on FinCEN. But on May 14th, so well over a month from now, at noon, she's going to give a free webinar.
Oh.
That will, you know, tell you everything you need to know, and you can do Q&A in there. And she's doing that at noon on May 14th, and the link to register for that is also on our website, finneylawfirm.com. Go to our blog. It's the lead entry on there. And she's going to teach Casey's just been a real blessing to me. She's been with us about 8 years and really knocks it out of the park on the transactional work. But she's going to give a free webinar that answers any additional detailed questions you may have and, you know, can walk you through the form and so on for that. So feel free to log into that as well. And like I say, if you go onto our blog, finneylawfirm.com, the link for that webinar sign-up is there on our blog.
Okay, I want to remind people to call in if you have a question, 877-772-9658. One of the things, I guess, also, I mean, first of all, so you really, to ease people's conscience or minds, and you don't have a crystal ball, you don't know what all the intent is, but you really, you know, a lot of people think, oh, this is just a cover. There, people, you know, there's a lot of this, what do they really want? Why, what are they really doing? Is it, but I really think, I think you're going to say, and I probably agree, is that it really is to catch the drug dealers and all that kind of stuff. It's not.
I think that's probably right. I think the reason you and I haven't heard before now about FinCEN is that it's for the guys that are moving money in and out of the United States, the guys that are having large sums of drug money, and then really the terrorist money, so they can see how that's flowing. So if you think about it, you have a wealthy guy who might be in government, so just make up a country in Peru, and he brings $20 million to the United States to buy, and he hides it in real estate, and they want to know who's moving that money, who's really behind it, not necessarily the lawyers and the accountants and whoever they're hiding behind. They want to know who the real party in interest is, all the way down to the human being, not just an LLC. They want to know who is it that really owns this penthouse in Manhattan, or this villa in Hawaii, or it might be an investment apartment building in Cincinnati, but they want to know who's hiding money and what they're hiding, because it allows them to track all these other things.
All right, well, stay tuned. After the break, we are going to talk about a federal court case that just happened, and we'll talk with Chris about that. All right, well, welcome back. This is a nice evening. Chris Finney's on the call with us, on the radio with us, and we have some questions, so we're going to start with those. We have Martha from Kentucky. Martha, what do you have?
Hey, I was just calling in response to the FinCEN filing that your guest was talking about just before the break. I work in a bank in Cincinnati, and I just wanted to let you know that it is as simple as that gentleman said, and if you go out to the FinCEN website and look up beneficial ownership, there's a good Q&As there that businesses can look up, and there's also guidelines of how to fill the form in. We are if you have a good banker, if you don't, come to my shop, but if you have a good banker, they'll be letting you know, they should have been letting you know that right at the beginning of this year.
Okay.
So, but it's very simple, and I would say, you know, do it rather than not. I kind of agree with him. So,
I tell
people don't spend money with me, you know, seeing if you have to file and is there an exception for you. Just file. It's so much simpler than researching it. I appreciate the input, and I didn't really say that, but you know, many times for a small business owner, they don't want to, you know, pay the fees to a lawyer, and their trusted advisors might be their CPA. It might be their banker. It might be their stockbroker. But all of these people should be telling their customers to, you know, be aware of the requirement and try to get filed. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and we do send them to that FinCEN website, and it is really simple. We can't help them, but we steer them to that.
Thanks for the awesome input, Martha. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Really do.
All right. You guys have a great day.
Thanks. So we actually have a question from another Martha. This was online. It says, what are the responsibilities of an accountant in filing this report for their clients? What is a co-company applicant? So it's really two questions. What are the responsibilities of the accountant?
You know, and Casey, when she gives this webinar in May, can answer that in greater detail. But the problem is, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. But as soon as you, as an accountant, as a banker, as a lawyer, get into the business of filing the incorporation papers, the organization papers for an LLC, the incorporation papers for a corporation, and registering with the Ohio Secretary of State, you become a responsible party and subject to those fines. So if your client says, hey, I want you to do this filing, but I don't want FinCEN reporting, or nobody takes care of the FinCEN reporting, or your client's trying to hide something. There's direct liability for those fines on the organizers now, which is why, as I said, some law firms, I've heard some of the big law firms are saying, we don't want to form LLCs for people anymore at all. We don't make any money on it that's significant, and we don't want the liability. And I understand that. I mean, you know, we are constantly, as professionals, looking over our shoulder for our downside. You know, did I assume liability for somebody by doing this very simple, you know, function for very little or no fees? And, you know, it's the last thing you want is to have big liability and low revenue on something. So we don't need those headaches. So I think, yes, the accountants, business advisors, say a part-time CEO who comes in and helps you out with your company, all of those people take on liability if they start helping with the corporate formation stuff. It's really kind of crazy.
Yeah, and I can tell you as a CPA, I mean, even the IRS starts putting burdens, and that's what they're really doing. They're putting burdens on the professionals who have a responsibility to be, like, for instance, with the IRS, they almost make CPAs responsible to audit the client's books, a lot of the stuff they're asking them to do. And if there are things that we don't ask or whatever, we can be held liable. So what Chris is saying is that those professionals aren't going to want to take on that responsibility. And if they do, I predict their fees are really going to go up, because they're just going to have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's. But at the same time, you know, you hope that they go after the accountants and the lawyers who are helping people do money laundering, the
right.
People who are co-conspirators for helping them hide all this stuff. It's fine with me if the FinCEN or the IRS takes those guys down.
Right.
You know, we want to identify the bad actors. But, you know, for people who are just trying to run their business and get by without a lot of overhead, it is... it's disconcerting that there's yet another regulation you have to follow.
So we have a question from Brian. Are there any workarounds, for instance, holding properties in irrevocable trust? What about trusts or land trust, things like that?
I think the whole point of FinCEN, the whole point of it is there are no workarounds. They want to bore all the way down. So when you get to ownership, let me see what they say here. So it's not just, you know, what you would refer to as ownership, but people with a controlling interest. But in the end, so examples of ownership are individuals with an interest in a reporting company by virtue of equity, stock, or similar interest, pre-organization certificate or subscription, transferable share of or voting structure, equity, security interest, or joint venture, interest in a business trust, which is what you just said. The whole point of FinCEN is that there's a lot of very creative attorneys, accountants, and other, you know, professionals out there that have come up with ways of finessing and hiding things. And the whole point of FinCEN is they're saying, we want to bore all the way down through the LLCs, through the trust, and we want to know who the real person is who's the beneficial owner of this entity. And will there be people that come up with ways around that? Maybe, but those are the guys that they're going to find as being the two creative lawyers and accountants that they don't want playing that game. The point of FinCEN is to report that. And my question I would ask confidentially if that person called me is, what is it that you're trying to hide? Because there's really no additional taxes. There's nothing that accrues as a result of this unless you are gaming the system. And most of my, I would say all of my clients, to my knowledge, are not engaging in that.
And what I would say to anybody out there who talks about that, if you think about it, if you have a trust, you're a beneficial owner. That's what they're trying to find. Who benefits from the entity? And so you're going to have to do that. And like Chris said, gosh, it even if I'm CEO of your company, and I don't own any of the company, I'm on the hook, aren't I?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're participating in the shell game of hiding, you know, who the real owners are, you're going to end up on the hook under this regulation. And they're saying, we don't want that. We don't want We don't want for people to creatively come up with exceptions about why they don't have to report. Just report. And my advice to literally all of my clients, to my knowledge, my clients are, you know, clean as the driven snow. I don't have anybody engaging in terrorism or money laundering or drug dealing, to my knowledge. And if that's the case, then what's the harm in reporting? Just report and be done with it so you don't have this hanging over your head.
Yeah, I would totally agree. So I want to touch on so there was a court case, I think about a month ago, that said that the judge, now I don't think it went up to the Supreme Court yet, but the judge says, hey, CTA, Corporate Transparency Act, was unconstitutional. So what was the basis of that ruling?
I did see that, actually, and I'm sorry, but I'm not versed on that at all. I'm trying to remember the circumstances of who they said that with respect to. And
so it
there's
was,
actually been a new rule enacted, I think, by the federal courts that nationwide injunctions are basically frowned upon now, and they might have a local one. But to my knowledge, that doesn't affect anything we're doing. But, yes, I did read something about that, and I actually didn't prepare for that or bore down on that particular decision.
You're fine. So the one thing I do know about it was really business organizations that were
It was like a trade association, wasn't businesses of some sort.
Yeah, they were taking it. And interesting that what I've read, and again, I'm no expert in it either, but what I read was that the Sinn Féin has said, okay, we acquiesce. Those two organizations are not required, whoever they represent are not required, and we will abide by that. But that it only relates to those two litigants. It has everybody else is responsible. So it's interesting. I think that maybe goes to your point that they don't want to do this. They want to get away from these injunctions, right? That are nationwide.
Scott, I had somebody yesterday call me about literally a $250 issue, and he wants to talk my ear off.
It'll cost him twice that.
Well, I know, but I just said, you know, it would cost you $20,000 to litigate this. What are we arguing about here? You know, I mean, but he didn't want to get off the phone. And I just would be shocked if there's somebody who wants to litigate. First of all, once you litigate it, they're going to take a look at you and figure out who the owner is, right?
Right.
But who wants to fight this thing? I mean, as the woman caller said, I think maybe Melissa, that from the bank, the online filing is fairly simple. Literally, you can be done with this thing, you know, in an hour or maybe in 10 minutes. Log on, give them the information they want, and you're done. But to, you know, create a federal case out of it, there has to be a reason. And I understand people's concerns about privacy and so on. Again, the bigger risk isn't the information. To me, isn't the information you're giving to the government. The bigger risk is that FinCEN filing then becomes arguably a discoverable document in litigation. So when somebody wants to sue you and bore all the way down to who's the owner of this company for asset purposes or otherwise, they would potentially be entitled to that discovery that gives them a much better roadmap to who they're dealing with.
Yeah, so I probably tend to agree that, but yeah, there is a risk. And I think the issue, one of the, we did have an anonymous person who asked, you know, they said that the database, here, I'll just read it. The databases of almost every government agency from the IRS to the U.S. Marshals Office to the Department of Energy has been hacked or had data breaches. This particular database is going to have personal information, including photo ID, all in one place. This is going to be a buffet for hackers who want to target business owners in order to commit financial crimes and such
you know what, that person is incredibly insightful. That is the other big risk, is that, you know, what was it, every website, it seems like they even hacked, I was reading a couple weeks ago, they hacked into Microsoft. If Microsoft's not secure, what is,
right? You know?
But he's not wrong about that, and I, you know, I, look, I've gotten beyond the point where I want to argue the political, you know, was it a good idea or a bad idea?
Right.
I want everybody to pay their share of taxes. I don't want money laundering and terrorism funding more than anybody else. I get it. But, yes, the risk that he identifies of that, it's not even a risk. It's almost a certainty, right? At some point,
right.
Somebody's going to – and, you know, at the IRS, I don't think anybody's hacked and gotten the whole IRS, but there have been cases just recently – where IRS employees were convicted
of
illegally accessing the database. And, of course, our firm had the big case against the IRS. We believe the only certified class action ever against the IRS, which was the Tea Party thing with Lois Lerner.
Right.
And we vindicated that. But part of that discovery we found was multiple instances of illegal accessing the database. They did it, I think, for Trump. They did it to Mitt Romney. They've done it to lots of people, and it's IRS employees that are doing it. Now, they have prosecuted them, but the one guy who did Trump, I think, ended up getting a very small jail sentence, like almost nothing, as a result of that. So
Okay.
Like I say, a virtual certainty, if you look at a 20-year time span, maybe a 3-year time span, at some point somebody's going to hack that system and all that information, including all the stuff that you're filing with, does become public. And I didn't think about that, but that is you know, more likely than not the way the world's going now.
All right, so we're going to take one more break, and then we'll finish up with some more insightfulness on the Corporate Transparency Act. All right, welcome back. Hey, I just wanted to give a couple of updates. One, the studio line is 877-772-9658. But coming up on April 8th, the Cincinnati Real Estate, Cincinnati REIA, which is Cincinnati Real Estate Investor Association, is having a trade expo on April 8th, where they'll have 50-plus investor-friendly vendors that you can get to contacts everything from CPAs and attorneys to providers of appliances and carpet and all sorts of things. So, and you'll have over 250 local real estate investors there to be able to mingle with, connect with, network. Admission's free, but we do ask you to please register at CincinnatiREIA.com. That's Cincinnati and then REIA, REIA.com. So we know they don't want you to know how much food to buy. So it's also free dinner. For those that and real estate investors are known to be frugal, so a free dinner is a good thing. So, and then I wanted to mention too, actually tonight there's a free rehabber and retailer help night online. It's free, and you can find a link for that at the same website, CincinnatiREIA.com. So you'll bring in questions about rehabbing and retailing. And get answers from experienced investors. So I encourage you to attend those items. So I was thinking, Chris, it sounds like what people need to do is grow their company to over $5 million in receipts. But I guess they have to have 20 employees as well, don't they?
Well, by then you've already reported, though. So,
oh, wow.
If you have to report in your first year, they already know who your beneficial owner is.
Good point.
Yeah.
And I think, too, Mike, you know, the one thing I was thinking about was, you know, it's 10 minutes to register, right? Or whatever it's going to take to do the initial registration. But what you said, I want to go back to what you said. You've got, when you change your address, does that need to be updated?
I think Casey Jones would have to
go to that seminar
if it's in the guide, but I think it's any change of ownership. I'm not aware of any change of address.
Okay, so maybe it's just change of ownership. So, but you really do. It's another thing you're going to have to watch for. So I would encourage you go to Chris's website. What's that website again, Chris?
Finney, F-I-N-N-E-Y, lawfirm.com.
And sign up for that 5:14, is it May 14th, noon? Free webinar.
We have a free webinar. There's a good blog entry on that website. Explains a lot. And in that blog entry is the document the lady caller referenced, which is the FinCEN compliance guide that should answer most of your questions.
All right. Great. By the way, too, I gave a wrong date on the trade show. It's actually April 4th. Sorry about that, April 4th. So it is next week, next Thursday. So I just wanted to...
And, Scott, I'd like to say one more thing, which is what Vina has done in RIA. It's really amazing, the camaraderie, the support and help individually that people give each other there, and then the resources you get there. If you are a sincere entrepreneur that wants to apply your capital and your time and energy into real estate investing and avoiding, you know, the big mistakes that take some people down, RIA is a tremendous resource for that. And there's a lot of get-rich-quick charlatans that'll take your money and try to tell you how to make money in real estate. But RIA, if you pay attention, you can work with some very honest brokers who can help you to enjoy the fruits of that tremendous investing life, if you want to do that, or as a sideline. There's a lot of resources there, and I'd encourage people to get involved with RIA and listen to you and Vina in that process, because it's really rewarding to see people sort of lift themselves out of the 9-to-5 and get into the entrepreneurial life.
Yeah, and I have had, I can't tell you how many clients I've had that come in and they want to just hang their head low because of buying something from a charlatan who just has not done a good job. So, yeah, I agree with you totally. I'm past president of RIA, Cincinnati RIA. It's a great to have. So,
yeah, my advice would be do not leap into it head first. You know, research, read,
right.
Be aware that there's a lot of people, whether they're sellers or contractors, who would be glad to take your money, all of your money.
Right. It is better, I always tell people, it is better not to do a deal that's bad than to do one. It's better to do nothing than have a bad deal.
By far. And the people who get into bad deals, they spend sometimes years getting out of that bad deal, and not to count the money and everything else. You know, just avoiding one bad decision is better than making 10 good decisions sometimes. So be very cautious and learn before you dive in. But RIA, if you listen and use the resources that they have available, there's always going to be another deal next year, next month, next decade, whatever. But don't feel like you need to dive in until it's right, until you know it's right.
Is there anything, is this something that, and based, because you do some public policy type stuff, is there anything that our listeners can do to encourage our legislators to get rid of this thing?
Well, I mean, it's gone through the House, Senate, and the President signed it. My experience is, you know, that over the years they slowly tighten the noose on us, right? I can't remember the last time they loosened the noose.
You're right.
And I think this had bipartisan support. And like I said, if you think about it,
sure.
In the end, you know, I think, you know, for me at least, I'd like to see everybody pay their fair share of taxes. I'd like there not to be terrorism. I'd like there not to be money laundering. I'd like there not to be drug dealing. You know, it'd be better if our society could get handles on these things. So I don't mind it, but the one caller's dead right. Even with all those good motivations, some bad things are going to come out of all this, and we've certainly seen that with our government over time, right?
Yeah. So a question too. So a lot of folks have self-directed IRAs and 401ks. In other words, they put non-traditional assets into 401ks and IRAs. So you might have an IRA or a 401k with the 401k has an LLC because it wants legal protection if somebody hurts themselves at a property.
You know, that's a good, actually, that was a different question that I think comes out of those self-directed IRAs. Who's the owner of an IRA? Is it me, the guy who's going to retire someday, or is it the trustee who manages it? I think the trustee who manages it is, but maybe they want that beneficial owner all the way down, which would also make sense.
Which that then does bring up a question. You know, you're talking about attorneys and CPAs not wanting to get hooked on this liability. What about the custodians?
Let me just read you. Actually, I think they've thought about that. So the exceptions include securities reporting issuers, money services businesses, broker-dealers, brokers or dealers in securities, security exchange or clearing agencies, investment companies and investment advisors, venture capital fund advisors, insurance companies. So it looks to me like that problem they tried to resolve in the legislation, in the regulation.
They wouldn't be subject to a penalty if their clients.
So now you're saying that the IRA is going to be the ultimate owner of a piece of real estate.
Right.
And then when you retire, you would, you know, cash that in or just derive the revenue from it. Would you have to report that? I don't know the answer to that, but I think they are saying that the people who have to report are not the
custodian doesn't have to report it. It's up to
that's
the
what I'm understanding.
Individual.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So I want to give us just a couple more heads up on the things that are going on. So one, go to Chris's website. Give us that again, Chris.
FinneyLawFirm.com, and you click on the blog button, and it'll take you down to both the seminar sign-up and the long blog entry on the FinCEN regulations. And then beyond that, there's a link in there in that blog entry to the FinCEN sort of frequently asked questions, their consumer guidelines.
Right.
And that'll help you as well.
Great. And remember the Real Estate Investing Expo, April 4th, this coming a week from Thursday. Go to CincinnatiRIA.com, and they have the Help Night tonight online. That's a great session. 500 investors will be on that. That's CincinnatiRIA.com. I want to thank Chris for spending the time with us. I know he's busy and really appreciate it. Good friend. And
you know, what we're busy with right now is our firm does a lot of property tax valuation challenges, getting those down, and that deadline is Friday, and Friday's a day off, so we've been working hard to get all those filed. But yeah, it's been a busy time, and it's an honor to be on. And like I said, what your work, this radio show, and RIA is, you know, there's a lot of resources out there for investors that they want to educate themselves before or as they're
Great.
Getting into the business. But they've got to avail themselves of it, and I really appreciate you doing all that.
Well, thanks, Chris. You've listened to Real Life Real Estate Investing, and I'm Scott Ellsworth. We'll see you next week.